Genesis chapter 35, starting from verse 1.
And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother.
Now here God gave the command to Jacob. He says, Rise and go to Bethel. If you remember, when Jacob was with Laban, Laban started giving him hard time. First 14 years, he said, Oh, please don't go. I need you. Stay here. Because of you, I'm blessed. And when Jacob started getting blessed, his animals started getting blessed, then Laban changed his mind. And he didn't want Jacob to be blessed. So he was not having good relationship with Jacob. That's the time God told him to rise and go to the place where you came from and where you made the vow. Let's read that Genesis chapter 31, verse 13.
I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointedst the pillar and where thou vowedst a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred.
Now God was telling Jacob, you came here, lived here almost 20 years. I blessed you. Now Laban is not in good term with you. So you get up and go where you prayed and made the vow. You go there and stay there. Means dwell there. That was the plan of God. Now Jacob is traveling. As I told you in the earlier, when Jacob left his father because Esau was going to kill him, his father was 100 years old. Jacob was 40 years old. Now when Jacob lived there with Laban 20 years, now Jacob is how many? How many years? 40 plus 20 is what? 60 years old. Now Jacob is 60 years old. His father has to be 120 years old. And now Jacob starts his journey. But on the way, he saw the beautiful land. Last week we learned, and he purchased the land from Shechem and his father and dwelt there. I don't know how many years they were dwelling there, because as we see, now he's coming and his father is almost ready to die. His father lived 180 years. That means when Jacob left that place, his father was 120 years old. Now, 120 to 180, this many 60 years of journey, just the 7 days journey. If you remember, when they were coming, Laban said, "We 6 day journey I took, and then God talked to me that do not harm Jacob." And then his brother came to see him, a 1 day journey. So that place was, Laban's place was not far from where Abraham Isaac lived. 7 days journey or not more than 10 days. But Jacob, when God told him, rise, get up, and go. Go where you came from. You saw the angels. You prayed. You made the vow. Go there. But he did not go right away. Obstacle came in the way. And so when he bought the place, he stayed there. And last week we learned his daughter was defiled by the king's son, prince, in that same land where the Jacob bought the land. And that's the time now God is saying, Jacob, rise, go on to Bethel, and there you dwell. That means God's plan was, when I'm telling you to get up and go, go to place where you came from. But he delayed. Stayed there, and that was the problem. And that's why his daughter was defiled. Not only that, the whole city, whole country, kings and all the people were slaughtered by his two sons. And so now God is telling him to get out of that place and see how he's coming out of there. Verse 2, Genesis 35, 2.
Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and to change your garments.
Now here Jacob is telling all his children, as well as the servants and the people who are working with him. What he's trying to tell them, get rid of all the strange gods. If you remember, his wife took the strange gods. And she was traveling, and Laban comes and accuses Jacob, why did you take my gods? Jacob was so angry, he said, why I need your gods? I worship Jehovah God. My God has blessed me. Your God, I don't need it. Whoever has those gods, that person will be killed. And Laban looked everywhere. When he came to Rachel, she was hiding those guards in that, and she was sat on that, and she said, I have the period, so please don't tell me to get up. So she lied. She might have the period or she didn't have, I don't know. At that time, I thought maybe she is pregnant. But she was not pregnant at that time, because you will be seeing in this chapter. They left the place when Jacob was 60 years old. And I don't know how old she was when she's having another child. But that time she lied, and because of that, she's going to die in this chapter. The point I'm making, Jacob gave the second chance and all other people to get rid of your gods. Not only Rachel, all these people. Read that verse one more time. 35 verse 2.
Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and to change your garments.
Now Jacob is saying to his whole household, his children, all the servants, including Rachel. Jacob didn't know that Rachel had it. She never confessed. She didn't say, I got the gods. But now this is a second chance for Rachel to get rid of those foreign gods. Now, how these foreign gods came to these people, do you know? Because when Jacob's son went and killed all these kings and his people, that's the time they took all the silver and gold and golden gods and everything what they had. All the money from the treasuries and all their gods they were having with them. So Jacob knew some of his people, all the people, they got their gods. So he wanted this God to be thrown out or give it to the Jacob so he will take care of and bury them. Not only that, he said, clean your clothes, clean your garments. That means their garments were dirty or stained with what? The blood of those kings and citizens of that country. So they were defiled. He said, wash yourself, clean yourself, throw out those gods. We are going to go to place where God made me, and we are going to have the worship service. So clean yourself and get ready to go. Let's read the verse 3, Genesis 35, 3.
And let us arise and go unto Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem.
The Shechem was the place where the Shechem's father and Shechem gave the land to Jacob. Now they are getting out of that land. Now he took all the gods, the foreign gods made by silver and gold, and the earrings. Some of the earrings were made by God's idols or something, just like today you are wearing the crosses on your ears. So they might have their gods putting the earrings on their ears. The Jacob says, get rid of those earrings. Now many people today, the young people, they put the earrings, they put the nose things, they put something on their tongue and something on their lips and things like that, showing that they want somebody to talk to them. Hey, what is this? And they want communication. And that's why they're piercing themselves to get attraction from people to find out what it is. But the word of God is saying it is not glorifying God. Our body is made to glorify God. This body is not made to let other people look at your body and then ask you questions. That's why these people are doing today facelift, chest lift, all kinds of lifts, and their lips lift. Why are they doing this? You see the commercials. Oh, I was 70 years old and look at my face now. I look like a 35 years old. You can change your face, but you are not going to change your strength. And there are some Christian people are doing too. What this silver and gold and jewelry shows, do you know? The wealth, the beauty. I'm somebody. I'm so rich. Especially Indian Christians, they have $10,000, $5,000 jewelry. They take it to the church. And sometimes people might be seeing an enemy following them. And when they come home, they are robbed or the jewelry is gone. And they still do not learn. They go and get a $10,000 more. The point I'm making, why they're doing this, they want to see, oh, this is made in America, this is made in India, or this is from Dubai, and all of these things, and they want to attract people to look at me. I have lots of money, I have lots of gold, and lots of silver, and all of these things. Today in America, people are taking your fake jewelry thinking, now the gold prices are going up, they're killing people for $5 fake jewelry. You don't need a jewelry, you don't need a foreign guards, bring it to me. And he took it and made a hole near that Shechem. There was a tree. Now in King James, they did not give the name of the real tree. They said the tree was like a yoke tree. But in New King James, you see, they said terebinth tree. So that's the tree they found out, and dig the hole and bury all their gods and all this jewelry. God did not want their foreign gods, no jewelry or nothing. And at that time, I don't know that Rachel given this god to Jacob also. If she would have given second chance, she would not die. Because this was a golden opportunity. My father came, Jacob, I was stealing this. I didn't tell you. I didn't tell my father. I'm still having it. I want to get rid of it. At that particular time, I think Rachel was already pregnant when they're leaving from this town and burying these jewelries. I don't know if she gave it or not. If she gave it, then she should not be dying it, because Jacob would be praying for her. Because now they are coming to the place where God spoke to Jacob. And now they are coming and building the altar there, and they are going to worship the Lord. So if she would have said, Jacob, I made a mistake, and you remember you put a curse on me that if I had my father's gods, I would die. But now you told us to wash your clothes, give up all this jewelry, and let's live a clean and holy life because we are worshiping God. If Rachel would have done this, I guarantee Rachel would not die. Even though her husband said if somebody took it, they will die. Because God can change the mind when you repent. You remember he said to Jonah, go and tell the Nineveh people that they are going to die and I'm going to destroy them. And Jonah goes and preached there. Not the first time, second time. And when he preached there, those people repented. And Jonah was surprised. Why these people are not dying. But God had mercy and God changed his mind and God did not kill them because they repented. If the Rachel repents, she would not be dying. Okay, let's read Genesis chapter 35, verse 5.
And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob.
You remember what Jacob said when his children killed those people and destroyed them? They said, I'm alone, we are few people, they are going to come, they are kill us. And that's why he left the land and he wanted to get out of that place because he had a fear. But once you love the Lord and follow the Lord and you have the promise of God, because God promised Jacob, do you remember? He said, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to bless you. Wherever you go, I'll be with you and I'll make you prosperous. If that's the blessing you have and you heard it, why are you afraid that somebody's going to kill you? But the people, sometimes when they have trials and tribulation, they forget the blessings of God, or they forget the promises of God, and they just go everything negative. Here Jacob was afraid, thinking that somebody is going to kill him. But the promises are there. Let's go to the Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7 and 10.
The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways.
Verse 10.
And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee.
The word of God says you don't have to be afraid of anybody. God will put the fear in their heart. And you don't have to be afraid. They will come one way, run seven ways. That's the promise of God. Jacob didn't know that. Jacob was afraid, and that's why he left the place. God did not want him to be stopping there and buying the land and dwell there, because God told him, get out of this Laban's place, go to the place where I talk to you, and you made the vow, and go and worship there and stay there, dwell there. That was the command. But he disobeyed God. He took a long time to reach there. And now second time God is telling him, get out of this place. And so let's read one more verse in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24 and 25.
Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you.
See, this is the promise. When I was in India, I traveled all over the India. I learned the Indian languages. And this word, 24th verse, I was believing in. And everywhere I went and said, Lord, I am praying, give me this land to start church in this land. And everywhere I went and prayed and put that land under my feet. Now, how many years ago? That might be almost 55 years ago. The land God has given to me by faith. And now we are trying to build churches in every place and every state and every village. Other day I was talking to my brother and I said, sir, don't worry about starting a church one village at a time. I want you to go, and I gave the name of at least 10 villages. I said, go and put that ground under your feet. That ground is already given to us, and we are going to build the churches, not one at a time, 4, 5, 6, 7 churches at a time. And so he agreed, and we prayed. So the point I'm making, nowadays, it's hard time for Christians to grow. They are killing Christians, they are destroying Christians, but I'm not worried about that. Because this word says, you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to worry, you just trust in God. So God gave me the land, God gave me the places, I'm going to build the churches and I'm not going to be afraid of anybody. God was talking to Jacob, don't be afraid of anyone. People can scare you. When I was in India, people told me, don't go to that village, they will kill you. They killed Americans, they killed British. You don't go there. But I went there and preached the gospel, and many people got healed, delivered, and set free. So the word of God is saying we should not be afraid. God has given us grace and faith. So we have to trust in God, and we have to believe in God. But the Jacob saw the vision, and now he's forgetting, and he's finding the wherever the beautiful land and go and build the house and stay there. Let's go back to the Genesis chapter 35, verse 6. Yes.
So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother.
When he comes to the place name is Luz or Luz. But he changed the name. This is the house of God. When you buy a house, you pray over that house, and he said, my house will be the house of God. In that house, you will not invite unsaved people and have drinking party or lustful things. You are going to make this house as a house of prayer. Somebody comes, pray. Somebody comes, talk to them about God. Your house should be a house of God. So now Jacob made the altar there. And if you remember, he said, when I come back, I will pay my tithes and offerings. He didn't have time to come and give his tithes and offering. He spent his money, lots of money, on the way. Gave lots of money to Esau, his brother, hundreds of animals. And then he stayed in another place and built the altar there, even though God didn't talk to him when he made the altar. And disaster came in that place. Now he's coming to the right place, and now he's giving his tithes and offering. It didn't mention in here, but when you make the altar, that altar is for sacrifice. So he might have offered the sacrifice at least 10% what he had. That was his tithe and offering. So he built the altar and he sacrificed and gave his tithe and offering to God. Verse 8.
But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon Bacuth.
Now see, again, here is saying this Deborah's nurse dies, and she was buried under the oak. He took her body back to that land where they're coming from and where that tree was, and he buried that. The name of that tree, he says, was oak. They said weeping oak. This tree was the terebinth tree. And there he buried, and that tree was the place where the Shechem was, or the Shechem's father and Shechem sold the land. So they buried her in that land. Now, who is this lady buried? Nurse. Now, Rachel is pregnant. Now, if you remember, when Esau came and said, Jacob, let's go together. He said, no, 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 I have little children, I have animals. I don't want them killing one day. You go, and I'll take care of them. And here he built a house in that Shechem's place and stayed there. Rachel became pregnant there. And now they came to the Bethel, where the house of God. Now the house of God is Bethel. He's worshiping the Lord. He's having sacrifice and giving tithes and offerings. He's blessed. Now here is the chance for Rachel to deliver her child. But the nurse died. Then the Rachel becomes a little bit nervous. Now she is trusting in this nurse, that the nurse is dead. Now what's going to happen? Who will deliver my baby? And she is already cursed that she took the idols, and she is worried that she is going to die because nobody is there to deliver the baby. And this kind of fear comes, and fear will what? Kill you. Fear is against faith. If you have faith, no fear. If you have love of God, no fear. So when you love the Lord, there won't be any fear. If you have faith in God, you don't have fear. So what happened now, it doesn't say here, but we can figure it out. Nurse dies, And then she's getting panicked. Let's read verse 9.
And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him.
He says, God appeared unto Jacob again. He appeared to him when he was coming and he fought with an angel, and God changed his name and made him Israel, the Prince of God. That's the time God changed his name. Now, if you remember, Esau came to see him. He sends his servants and say, gave the animal. And all these five groups of animal, almost 500 animals. And he told them, when the Esau comes and sees you, when he asks you, where are you going and what is this all about? Then tell them, your servant Jacob has given to you this gift. Five times. All the servants has to tell. That time, Jacob didn't say, you know, my servants, you tell my brother, my name was Jacob. I cheated you. God made me. God changed my life. God even made me lame. Now I cannot walk properly. I cannot beat you up. I am helpless. And now I am not Jacob anymore. The Jacob is dead and gone. Now I'm Israel. That would have been good testimony, isn't it? But he did not tell him that my name is changed and I'm changed. So many people go to convention, go to church and get saved and come back home and they don't tell anybody they are saved. What's the problem? Because they are afraid. I gave up smoking, I gave up drinking, I promise. But if I don't keep my promise, they are going to say something about it. So I'm not going to tell until I give up these things. And how many years happens? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they carried a cigarette and they never give up. So there is no change of life. God says, Jacob, I made you Israel. He's coming and appearing to him again. Where? In Bethel. When he builds the altar, when he gives his sacrifice, when he gives the tithes and offering, God is pleased. God is reminding him, Jacob, didn't I change your name? Why are you telling everybody I'm Jacob, I'm Jacob? You are Israel. I changed your name. And that's why he's saying God appeared to Jacob again. Verse 10, Genesis 35:10.
And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel.
This name was given before. Genesis chapter 32, verse 28.
And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.
See, what a blessing. You are not a Jacob. You are Israel, you are prince, you have power with God, and you have your power over angels. You are a mighty man. So why should you be afraid to call and tell somebody I'm a born-again Christian? It's nothing to be ashamed being a Christian. You should be shouting from the mountaintop. Say, I'm born-again Christian, I gave my life to Jesus. I'm transformed, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free, I'm living for God, and my life is changed. I'm not the same man. That person is dead. I'm a new man. That's the Christian life. But people are not living a transformed life, and they're giving mixed messages to strangers and other people, and that's why people are confused. Somebody says, if I tell everybody I'm Christian, I'm born again, nobody will marry me. They don't want this kind of girl. You don't need those kind of people. You say, I'm born again, I'm Christian, I'm living for God, I sing for God, I write the books, I do so many things for God, and I'm living a holy and clean life. There might be somebody, Prince, I like that girl. That's the kind of girl I was looking for. And you will be find a right person. Don't hide the truth and try to tell somebody, oh, well, you know what, I go to church, but I'm not a churchy person. I'm not that religious person. I can blend with you, and the same time I go to church and act like a church person. And that person can be deceiving. That's why God says, Jacob, wake up. I change your name. I'm telling you again. Tell everybody. I'm a Israel. I'm a prince. Don't be ashamed. Okay, let's read verse Genesis 35:11.
And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins.
Now he's saying, you are not only prince. I'm going to bring many princes, many kings from your own tribe. Not one, but many. You're going to be multiplying. You're going to be blessing to many people. And not only that, what he's trying to say, now I am Almighty God. You remember when the angels was blessing him, he said, what's your name? Angel didn't give him a name. This time God says, do you know who is talking with you? I'm an Almighty God. If the God Almighty is talking with you and communicating with you and you have a relationship with God Almighty, why are you worried? Why are you afraid? The doctor tells you, you got this cancer and you take his word and get panicked. You said, I have Almighty God. He's the great surgeon. He's the great doctor. He's the great physician. I trust in him. Don't anyone tell you something to make you panic. He says, be fruitful and multiply. From Genesis, Adam, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everyone, he said, be multiplied. But you will see, even though these people are fruitful and multiply, today more people are Muslim than Jewish. What happened? They didn't walk according to the will of God. Holocaust, millions of people died. But the God says to Jacob, from your family, the kings are going to come. And you're going to be a blessing to many. God is talking to Jacob. You're a prince. And you're going to produce kings, nations, and many kings. Not one, but many. If that's the kind of promise you have, are you going to worry about future? No. You're going to say, God is with me and God is almighty. And he's with me, he's going to supply all my needs. I'm not going to worry. Many people are scared about their losing their jobs. Many people do not have money. So many churches are saying people are not giving offerings. By the grace of God, we do not have any lacking. Our church members are giving tithes and offerings. And by the grace of God, even this time of financial crisis, I'm paying my bills on time. Sometime ahead of time. So the point I'm making, God has blessed me and I'm not worried looking at other situation, what will happen tomorrow. God is the one who supplies all my needs. So my God is almighty. And say, God is going to supply my needs. So the God is trying to teach Jacob, Jacob, I am your almighty God. I'm going to produce everything what you want and multiply. At that particular time, if Rachel would have said to Jacob, you know, Jacob, I'm pregnant. He would have said, Lord, my wife, Rachel got a child after a long period of time. She got Joseph when I was in Laban's place. Now I'm almost in Bethel and my wife is pregnant. I want her to be having safe delivery. You are Almighty God. You helped me. I guarantee you, she would not be dying. But see what happens. Let's read verse 12. Genesis 35, 12.
And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him.
Now what he's saying, God went up from him. That means God came down to talk to Jacob. Last time he sent the angel, And he talked to Jacob through angel. This time, he comes from heaven, talks with him, and when he finished talking, he goes back to heaven. Verse 14.
And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel.
Now see, this is the second time he's naming this place. Now this time where God talked to him, he put a pillar, and he put oil, and he made the sign, this is the place God talked to me, this is the place I fought with the angel, this is the place is God's house. Now if the God's house is there, and God told him, Jacob, rise up, go to Bethel, and dwell there. That's what the command, right? And see what Jacob is doing right now. He went there, he put the altar there, but he didn't dwell there. He's going somewhere else. Let's read.
And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor.
Now it's not too far a journey. They are starting from Bethel and going to Ephrath. And here in the middle, his wife, Rachel, had the hard labor. Do you remember what he said to Esau? I cannot travel too fast because my children are small and my animals are small and they would die. If the Jacob's wife is pregnant, he's in a Bethel. Now he is not too far from there to go and meet his father, and father is ready to die. I don't know. Or maybe he went there and stayed there with his father for 20 more years. We don't know. But here his wife is pregnant. The nurse is dead. He's supposed to say, I'm not going to leave Bethel, because God told me, go and make an altar there and dwell there. But he's going away from the presence of God. And see what's happening. Now he's leaving and he's not too far away from Bethel. Please read verse 16, 17.
And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem.
She got a son. She named him Benoni, means maybe my child of my pain. But father didn't want that name, to saying suffering or pain or some kind of reminding, some kind of curse. He's saying Benjamin is my right hand son. So he gave him a name, and now he's bringing her and buried her in Bethlehem. And then he put the sign there. Please read. 20? Okay. Verse 20.
And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day.
Now here is saying, he buried her, put the pillar there, and said this is Rachel's grave. And the word of God said this is until today. A couple of weeks ago I heard in these Muslim people, you know, they start saying this Rachel's graveyard is ours. And they start fighting for this land. But this land, Jacob says, this is my wife's burial place. But they say, no, Rachel is ours and the burial ground is ours. But he put the sign. If there was no sign, then they would have taken long time ago. Okay, let's finish this chapter.
And Israel journeyed and spread his tent toward, and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12.
Now see what happened? He went from there, he went to Adar, and he stayed there, and he lived from the presence of God, where was the Bethel house of God. If he would have stayed there where the Bethel was, his son will have a fear. Hey, we are living in the house of God. We are living in Bethel. I cannot defile my father's wife. Our concubine, me, she was married to Jacob. That lady was Rachel's handmaid. And he went with her and defiled her But Jacob couldn't say a word. And here he kept quiet. And then the chapter goes and tells he has 12 sons. Okay, let's finish this.
The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan, and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad, and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram.
He says, these were all 12 children were born to him in Padan Aram. They were not all 12 born in that land. Only 11 sons were born. You remember, the Benjamin was not born in there. He was born in almost between Bethel and Ephrathah. And so the point I'm making, even though he says 12 were born to him, and so he's, you know, they understood they were born in, most of the children were born there, 11 children. So they mentioned there all the children were born there. But one child, Benjamin, was not born with the Laban's land. Okay, verse 27.
And Jacob came unto Isaac his father unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned.
Abraham was living and his son was living. That was city of, and now they made that city like a Hebron, because Abraham was called Hebrew. So when Abraham lived in that land became Hebron. God did not tell Jacob, hey, go to Hebron and dwell there. God said, go to Bethel and dwell there. And Bethel and Hebron is not too far. And he says, I'm going to give you your father's land, Abraham's land. I promise I'll give it to you and your children's children. So he didn't have to hurry and go to Hebron and get control of that because, hey, my brother Esau might take that land. That's what some people think. Oh, before my father dies, I want to make sure that my property and bank balance and everything is divided and give it to us. That's the selfish way he's doing. God said, I'm going to bless you. The princes and kings and all this will come to you. He didn't have to rush from Bethel to go to this land called Adar, the place. And then he goes and meets his father. Let's read the verse 28.
And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him.
Now just think, Isaac was 100 years old. He wanted to die. That's why he asked his son to give him some deer meat. That's the time Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and Jacob left. That time Jacob was 40. Now his father is 180 years. I don't know, he got a chance to stay with his father 20 years or so, I don't know. But the point I'm making, his last son, Benjamin, was born. I hope his father was able to see the Benjamin and all the 12 children. I'm talking about Isaac. And Isaac died when he was 180 years old. Can you imagine how people think foolishly? When he was 100 years old, I'm going to die. Please give me some deer meat and I'm going to bless you. God would have said, you're not going to die. Don't bother these people and make enmity. God gave him 80 more years to live. And then Esau comes and Jacob comes and they are in unity. You remember? Why? Because Jacob gave lots of gifts to him and now they are friends. And now they came and buried their father in peacefully. Thank God he is not fighting with his brother, because his brother has a lot of animals. Esau is thinking, this is not a good place for both of us. So he left peacefully. He didn't say, hey, this is my father's land, and I want 50% from my father's land, and I want this thing. He will say, hey, I'm blessed. I don't have to fight with Jacob for my father's land. Let's trust in God. When God talks to you and gives you his plan, stick to the plan of God and you will be blessed. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You are a miracle-working God. You have called us with a definite high calling. We want to listen to you. We want to follow you. And we want to live for you. And we want to multiply spiritually. And we want to build churches around the world and bringing souls to the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, give us grace. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.